Good morning. We're going to continue our study on biblical leadership. We've looked at, in general, some principles of leadership. We've looked at some specific examples of say, Moses. We've looked at the priest last week. Today, we're going to look into the New Testament and see some of the leaders there, some good and not so good examples of leadership. One we'll start off with are the scribes and the Pharisees, a group of people that we see quite often in the New Testament. And our scripture reading that Pete read today was taken from John 12, verses 42 and 43. And it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers," and we're talking about biblical leadership, "even the religious rulers, many believed in him," talking about Jesus. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." That's a powerful verse, a powerful reminder that of the obstacles in believers' ways that is in their path, even people that do believe. There are things blocking them. And here, one of the things blocking people was the pressure put on them by the Pharisees. That the Pharisees had gotten together, that if anybody professed a belief in Jesus, they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. And there were people that believed, but did not confess it publicly. Now, Jesus said, "You need to confess before men," Matthew 10:32, that I am he. They believed, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's a sad verse, but a powerful reminder for us. In Matthew 23, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.'" Not so much a regular chair, but in his position of being able to make decisions and that of authority. They sit in Moses' seat. "Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." This is that old, "Do as I say, not as I do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men rabbi, rabbi," which is teacher, teacher. In that very chapter, and Michael was touching on this, I think it was last week, in Matthew 23, Jesus unloads on them. You know, there's plenty of verses, and I love to think of Jesus, the meek, mild, person full of love. Enough love to die for me. I love to think of that Jesus. Here's the full Jesus that is willing to stand up against the people that hinder those others from coming to God. 8 different times in this chapter alone, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." He calls them hypocrites 7 times. That's not a light word. He's saying you're just a great pretender. As Tracy brought a lesson to us recently. He calls them fools. And this is in public, in front of everybody and their mother. Calls them blind, calls them snakes, you brood of vipers, serpents. And he calls them whitewashed tombs. These are the religious leaders of their day, or should have been. They were always trying to trick and trap Jesus. They had no pure motives. When many of them even saw who he was, they were just trying to eliminate him. They plotted against him. They were the ones responsible for his death. And your homework this week, because we don't have the time to read Ezekiel 34, but in Ezekiel 34 in the Old Testament is a long discourse of examples of bad shepherds. Everything that a shepherd should not be is in Ezekiel 34. Read that. It won't take you real long, but that's your homework for this week. Compare the scribes and the Pharisees who loved the praise of men, loved the best seats, love to be looked upon, with John the Baptist. Just the man himself was something to behold. But John the Baptist captured the attitude, his attitude toward Jesus, and his humbleness was in John 3, verse 30, where he says, "He must increase and I must decrease." John had a good following. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that followed the teachings of John the Baptist. And for him to direct them, he got it. He got it. That my purpose is to direct people to Jesus, amen, the Lamb of God. And when asked about him, he made that great statement: "He must increase and I must decrease." Amen. That's an attitude we all have to have. And we sure did not see that with the scribes and the Pharisees. During this period of the New Testament, were religious leaders called apostles. And they were common men. I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't already know. These are men that had flaws. We see them numerous times. Other than Judas, and maybe a couple of stumblings of other individuals like Peter, they were loyal. That's what separated these people. They were common. They weren't the religious elite. They were common people that we could identify with. But they were loyal. They were handpicked by Jesus. Jesus would give them the miraculous powers to confirm the words that they would be sent out with. And most of them would wind up dying for their beliefs. They would die a martyr's death, other than John, who would die of natural causes at an old age, and of course Judas, who killed himself after betraying Jesus. All the others died a martyr's death. They went to their death for the things that they believed. Amen. You talk about loyal. They saw it through to the end. But they had a good example in Jesus, who had taught them for 3 years, and what they saw how he died. And they would follow that example. They would follow his teachings. They would also follow his example of life, even his example of death. In John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." That's their role. Not to sit in some fancy seat. Your role is to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And in Matthew 28, we see before he ascended back into heaven, we call it the Great Commission. At the end of Matthew, this is after Jesus had been resurrected from the grave, he meets with his apostles and he tells them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them." Not, he didn't say, "Go get a bunch of people wet." Make disciples of them. Big difference. Big difference in just dunking somebody and making a disciple, a follower, a disciplined follower. And then he says in verse 20, teaching them. It doesn't end at baptism. Continue to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark 16, 20, in Mark's account of this, and it says, the in real time, they went out. Jesus says, "Go." They did. It says, "And they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." That power that he had been given them was to confirm the word. It wasn't going to stay around forever, but it was to confirm this new teaching that they were taking to people, and to give them the credibility and the authority. In Acts 10, we see the example of attitude that these apostles had in the example of Peter. Now, if anybody was going to stumble and mess up on this, it would have been Peter. I think that's a good reason why Jesus probably used Peter. He was going to meet with Cornelius, a centurion, and it says in verse 25 of Acts 10, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself am also a man. Amen. Don't worship me. Let me tell you who you..." And he goes on. "Let me tell you who you need to worship. Amen. It's not me. There's nothing special about me. But let me tell you, I know a guy. Let me tell you about him. Later on, a couple of decades later, as Peter was an older Christian, had gone through a lot of his knuckleheaded days, he would be able to write in 1 Peter 5, he says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." There was a period of time where elders and apostles overlapped. What an amazing time that was to have seen, but we've got record of it in God's Word in the New Testament. The apostles were handpicked by Jesus. They had those miraculous powers that died, that those apostles are going to die. But elders will continue on to this day. And next week, we're going to look at the biblical leadership that is with us to this day. Elders. We don't have apostles. We don't have the scribes and Pharisees or the temple priests and nothing, but we have elders. And we're going to look at their qualifications, their requirements, what God expects of them, how they deal, how they are leaders in the church today. In Acts 15:4, it says, "When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them." What an amazing time that would have been to have had people that had walked with Jesus, the apostles still around, but also having elders. There was only 12 apostles, but you could have elders in every congregation, and they weren't going to live forever. And so we're going to start our look at elders next week. Again, your homework this week is to read Ezekiel 34 about a wonderful example of bad shepherds, overseers. We always like to offer an invitation to anybody that may need to respond. If you've been studying God's Word and you realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism for forgiveness of sins, we have the opportunity to do so. If you need prayers, we have that opportunity also. If there's sin in your life, do not let another minute go by without repenting and changing and putting that behind you. You can't effectively serve God and be serving the devil at the same time. Whatever your need, if we can be of assistance to you, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.